Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening. Thanks for joining us. My website is www.jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com or jimblasingame.com. Either one of those will get you to that site, which is a little bit of small business heaven. Ray Keating is all over our site. His columns are there. His voice is there in the form of dozens and dozens of archives of past interviews that he's done with us over the years. He's chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, the author of a number of books, including U.S. by the Numbers, which is the last one. And he's our good friend, Ray Keating. Welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. And also, folks, and this is kind of one of the main reason he's back today, is because Ray, as you now know, since you're fortunate enough to know me, you now know that today's National Columnist Day.
I really had no idea until you contacted me to come on the show.
I haven't been getting
my Hallmark cards.
How many times have you said? That's one of the reasons I like knowing Jim is because he gives me this information that I don't get anywhere else.
You're absolutely correct.
And you said,
whether that information is useful or not, I will leave to debate.
It's called little known and less cared for facts. But somebody was talking about who came up with this. I said, well, it was obviously a self-absorbed, self-referential, egomaniacal person. Which and I think you said, well, isn't that what a columnist is?
That's right. There you go. And we become experts on everything automatically.
Now I've only been a columnist in the classic sense, meaning, you know, on somebody else's paper for about 3 years now. But you've been a columnist for longer than that, haven't you?
Yeah, actually, with Newsday in New York, the daily paper on Long Island, I have been writing, my goodness, now that you mention it, almost 10 years now with Newsday.
Wow. And I've been writing for my own account, you know, through my own distribution for a lot longer than that, probably. I started writing in terms of something that I wanted to hold on to. I wanted to keep it, had a beginning and an end, probably about 20 years ago. And then about 7 years ago, I started putting things down that I actually wanted to distribute. And then about 3 years ago in newspapers, but you've been with Newsday for 10 years now. Now, the interesting thing, by the way, Ray, one of the definitions of a columnist, I think is fair to point out, is that they're not typically people you'll find in the list of the richest Americans.
That's exactly.
Is that a good definition? That's kind of an anti-definition, isn't it?
Well, let's put it this way, Jim. I have three jobs. I'm chief economist with SBE Council. I have my own little small business, and I also do my column for Newsday. I enjoy all those jobs tremendously, so I'm very lucky in that sense. And probably the Newsday one, because I get to write on so many different topics, could be my favorite by a nose. But let's put it this way. I'm not just doing that and then going to the beach and playing golf.
Well, yeah, I don't know too many people that got rich being a columnist or even, you know, it's the rare individual that actually makes a living as simply a columnist.
You know, well, there are folks. I mean, certainly there are syndicated folks that are in hundreds of newspapers. You think of
right.
George Will. And then, you know, each newspaper, some of them, you know, with Newsday, I happen to be an independent contractor, but Newsday certainly has full-time people that are columnists. They'll do some other work as well, usually for the newspaper, and perhaps write, you know, editorials, unsigned editorials, that type of thing. So it depends. I think columnists come in all shapes and sizes in terms of whether the how they work and how they're compensated.
Well, should we point out the difference between a columnist and say a journalist, or a reporter? Maybe I should say a columnist.
Yeah,
and say a reporter.
I mean, I guess journalism. I guess columnists fall under journalism in general, but reporters.
Right.
You know, a columnist is usually opinion. You know, you go out and you look at the issues and give your take on them. And reporters are supposed
right.
to be you know, non-biased and objective and just report what's going on. Now, of course,
that was a nice trip down memory lane, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that opens up a whole new debate, doesn't it?
Well, and a friend of mine said, somebody called him on a topic on something. He said, look, I'm not a reporter. I'm a columnist. I don't have to get it right. I just have to get it close.
There you go.
But back to the part about the opinion and the reporting, it seems to me that more and more, there still are people out there who I know have attitude about a topic that report very professionally, but there are more and more people who aren't doing that. And we'll come back. We're going to talk about this some more with our good friend Ray Keating, chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, and a columnist as we celebrate National Columnist Day. We don't have a tree or anything for this, by the way, folks. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Ray Keating, the author of U.S. by the Numbers and New York by the Numbers and D.C. by the Numbers, and very soon, a book on sports, right, Bill? I mean, right, Ray?
That's exactly right. Sports and government, actually. Sports and government,
which you had a very interesting thing to happen recently in New York, didn't you? The Jets.
We got it all going on in New York. They're after the Olympics.
The Olympics, yeah.
The Yankees and the Mets want new stadiums. The Jets want a new stadium. The Nets want to move to Brooklyn. They want a new stadium. The Islanders want a new arena. And guess what? The taxpayers are supposed to pitch in on all of this.
But so far they're saying no, aren't they?
Well, the story on the West Side Stadium of Manhattan for the Olympics and the Jets, that's been shot down.
Yeah, that got the kibosh, didn't it?
Yeah, but there have been recent deals that New York City has put forward with the Yankees and the Mets, which the taxpayers would pitch in on.
The Yankees are not leaving Yankee Stadium, are they?
Their plan there is to build a new Yankee Stadium next to it.
Oh, no.
And then they're talking about building a
Nothing is sacred, Ray.
And then the backup plan on the Olympics was to build a new stadium next to Shea Stadium, which would also become the Mets' new facility. Taxpayers, again, would be on the hook for some of that money. And the Nets in Brooklyn seems to be moving ahead. So there's a lot going on here.
Yeah. In fact, I
wrote a column on that recently.
I know you did. And the thing is, though, it's easy being a columnist where you are. I mean, all you got to have is a little attitude and pay attention. Right?
Oh, you know what? There is never a shortage of issues or topics in the New York metropolitan area, especially if you're a conservative columnist like myself.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it can be a very frustrating place if you're a conservative columnist.
I mean, there's the opportunity for righteous indignation everywhere, isn't there?
That's exactly right. That's exactly
now,
right.
Okay, now speaking of what you just said about your political bent, Newsday is not known as a conservative paper by any stretch of the imagination. So you're like their token conservative, right?
Well, I think they realized
you sort of legitimized them, right?
Well, they realized they needed another voice on issues from a different perspective. So yes, it's known as a liberal paper, but to their credit, and certainly I'm not complaining. I used to have a partner on this column, Matt Carolyn, but he had to move on for other reasons. So, as I said, I've been doing this for almost 10 years, and basically my job is to bring a conservative voice to issues that are important to Long Island. And of course, I get to write on national issues on occasion as well.
Well, of course, you write you write significantly as a columnist, or at least a columnist, one of the products of what you produce for Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council.
SBEC. Yeah, well, actually, it's this Newsday's not the only column. That's true. I write at SBE Council's website, which is www.sbecouncil.org. I write a weekly column on small business issues. So that's there, and that often gets distributed to papers around the country. So that I do that. And actually, I write a... to cover all bases here, I write a regular column on religious topics for OrthodoxyToday.org. So I'm kind of doing everything here, Jim.
Well, and I'm the happy recipient of all your pieces, and I'm glad that I am. Ray, if there's someone out there listening right now, maybe a young person who thinks that they want to be a columnist, And, you know, you got somebody out there who's lighting up the letters to the editor every week in the local paper, and they say, you know what, I can do that. I listened to Keating and Blasingame. They're not that smart. I can do that. What's your advice after Runaway? What would be your second advice?
Well, you know, you get that question a lot when you do something like this. And number one is just read everything. Number two is write as much as you can.
It helps to be a news junkie, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and no
television. And not have a life. So see that's what helps me the most. I'm a news junkie and I don't have a life, and so that contributes significantly.
Those are two biggies, but also look at stylistically how paper, you know, how editorials and op-eds are written. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really what grabbed me and brought me in actually was the Wall Street Journal's editorial page.
Yeah,
that's what got me interested.
That's an important one, no question.
And I'll tell you the key thing though is to have a thick skin. Because you're going to get, especially starting out, but even to this very day, you know, with the stuff I write that's
right.
Freelance, and you're going to get rejected a lot, and you got to be able to handle that, and some people can't.
And newspaper editors aren't all that sweet, are they?
No, they're not. And you know, I'll tell you, I have written pieces. Just to give you an example, I've written pieces where I've taken it to two or three newspapers, and they said, you know, basically the response was pretty clear that, you know, this is trash. Don't send us this stuff. And then, you know, the fourth one I'll go to, they'll say, wow, this is great. And
we're nominating you for Pulitzer or something.
Yeah. So you got to be able to handle that. You got to be able to handle rejection and understand that. You know, that's just part of the process.
Well, my favorite story, and this is not about columnists, but Dr. Seuss was rejected by something like 26 publishers before he got Green Eggs and Ham published.
That's exactly. You know what? And he's not the only one. There are so many stories about authors that, you know, went to 25 different publishers, and all of a sudden somebody said yes, and it's a bestseller. So
well, one of the best,
very similar phenomenon with columns and op-eds.
One of the best things that you can learn to say if you're gonna be a columnist or a writer about anything is you have to learn to say there's no accounting for taste.
Yeah.
Right, Ray?
You know, absolutely.
Somebody turns you down, you just say, well, there's no accounting for taste.
That's it, and you just have to kind of keep plugging along with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely, and whatever else keeps you going. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about. I want to ask Ray about a couple of things that are going on right now in the news that he's been writing about. I think you'll find them interesting. One of them was originally written on stone. Ten Tales, stay with us.
Oh, how big.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're celebrating National Columnist Day. And the reason we're doing that is because I wanted to. And Ray Keating has agreed to join us, and that's what we've been doing. Ray, this has been a little love fest for columnists, hasn't it?
Well, what are you trying to say with that song there? You got the Great Pretender coming on, and then we're talking about being columnists. What are you trying to say?
Well, we have lots of production value here on this show, Ray. It actually never ends. Those are some of the little mysteries about our show. Ray, give us your website again, please.
www.sbecouncil.org, and that's Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, and updated almost daily with all sorts of good stuff.
Very
and then also my Newsday column is at www.newsday.com.
And it's good stuff too, folks. Even though Ray is a conservative, he is of the persuasion of the right. He's a very intellectually honest person, and I think you'll like his stuff. Ray, let's talk about a couple of quick things here. The Ten Commandments was Supreme Court came down with a ruling this week. I guess actually yesterday they released it, where they kind of spit the baby a little bit, didn't they?
Yes, they did. You know, I was reading Supreme Court cases last night, but I haven't
now,
got.
Now talk
to that.
About somebody who doesn't have a life.
Yeah, there you go. I haven't gotten
that.
To,
you fully qualify, and with that comment,
I haven't gotten to read the full. Decision on that yet, but
see that's not as bad of not having a life as me because I actually read the Fed website.
Well,
that's
you're
worse.
Right, Jim. You're worse than me. You know, the Supreme Court decisions are entertaining compared to Alan Greenspan
right,
stuff.
Right.
But yeah, my initial look at that is you just have to kind of scratch your head in many ways. You know, it goes back to, you know, what does a separation between church and state actually mean? And I would argue.
Start with what was the case about?
Well, it's about two different cases brought together. I believe it was in Texas. There was a monument that had the Ten Commandments on it, and then in it was but outside at the courthouse, and then in Kentucky, there was Ten Commandments framed inside the courthouse. So they basically said that the monument is okay, but the framed Ten Commandments is not.
And then the nuance they chose is the context of the two, didn't they?
The context, and then they basically said that, you know, you have to, lower courts will have to decide this on a case-by-case basis. So, you know, they said take into account history and so on.
So they sort of half-punted, didn't they?
Yeah, they half-punted, and if you go back and look at the actual Constitution, which is rare for a lot of Supreme Court justices, and what was meant at the time, you know, the Establishment Clause was not about no religion whatsoever in the public square. It was about government not running a religion.
Right, not imposing
it was about
a religion.
No state-run church.
Right.
But that's unfortunately been you know,
they were
forgotten.
Trying to avoid a theocracy.
Exactly. So it's so that I think is just going to keep the debate going on that topic long into the future.
The other issue that upsets me more than the Ten Commandments doesn't upset me. I actually kind of get the Ten Commandments thing. I understand the context issue, but what I don't get is this eminent domain thing that they came down with about a week ago. Tell us about that.
Well, it's a Kelo versus City of New London case, and essentially it's the City of New London in Connecticut decided that it's got an economic development plan that it just loves to know, and they were going to buy up 90 acres of land, and a few property holders said no, including some homeowners. The city said, well, you know, we're just going to take it. And, you know, we'll give you, you know.
They invoked eminent domain.
Invoked eminent domain, and, you know, and the property owners took them to court. And it's a fascinating and depressing Supreme Court decision to read.
Yep, I agree with
that. It went in favor of the city 5-4. I think the majority opinion is just, you know, it's a vacuous piece of literature. But what's interesting to read, and you know, again, if people have a chance, read it, is Justice Sandra Day O'Connor's dissent, which was biting and right on target. And then even better, actually, which too many people haven't mentioned, is Justice Clarence Thomas. He signed on to the Sandra Day O'Connor dissent, but added his own, added some additional comments. And both of those are dynamite reading, and they're right on the mark. And the bottom line is that this is not a public use in any sense of how the founders put forth that idea in the Fifth Amendment, and
right.
It should not have been held up.
Well, I agree, and I don't know where they're going to go with this, but it's very troubling. You know where they could, where we can find those comments?
You go to the Supreme Court website. It's supremecourtus.gov.
Okay, thanks, Ray. Ray Keating, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Columnist Day, Ray.
Oh, thank you, Jim. You too.
See you. Ray Keating, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. I'll be back in just a few minutes. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.